in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I welcome you to day what now? Day 13. We are making progress. We've gone more than halfway already. Day 13 of our 21 days avalanche of abundance prayer and fasting program. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Let us come to the middle. Hallelujah. Occupy it from the front to the back. Let there be no empty seat in front of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I say praise God. We started looking at this very important subject from Monday. Today is Saturday already. Understanding and activating prophecies. Understanding and activating prophecies. Today will be part what? Part 6. And this will be the concluding part. Because tomorrow is our fresh fire service. Hallelujah. Come with your friends. Come with your loved one. Come and collect enough fire for your future. Enough fire for 2024. Hallelujah. It's going to be an awesome time in God's presence. And then on Monday, I'll be starting another teaching series. Glory to God. That will be the third teaching series. You get to know when you come on Monday in the course of this fasting program. So we started looking at yesterday under understanding and activating prophecies, this very timely and timeless teaching series. Very important, very critical. We started looking at the keys to activating prophecies, how to move from prophecy to manifestation, how to materialize prophecies and maximize them in the earth realm. Hallelujah. And we looked at the first key extensively yesterday. Glory to God. I took time to really explain that key because it's very important. The first key to activating prophecies is faith. We looked at faith yesterday. Faith as a prime activator of prophecy. Praise God. Faith as a principal fulfiller of prophecy. Praise God. It is a prophetic word you believe that you are empowered to become. There can be no manifestation. There can be no fulfillment of prophecies. There can be no performance without the partnership of what? Faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, Luke 1:45. Blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a what? A performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. If she does not believe, there will be no performance. Glory to God. The partnership of faith. We said, for there to be any, for there to be a divine manifestation of the prophetic word in the earth realm, it will require, there must be human what? Partnership, human participation, human collaboration. You have a part to play if you want to see prophecies fulfilled in your life. And one of such human partnership is the partnership of faith. Hallelujah. You have to believe those prophetic words. 2 Chronicles 20:20. He said, believe ye the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, so shall ye what? Prosper. You need to believe in their words. Believe in those prophetic words wholeheartedly. Become fully persuaded about them. Become completely convinced in your heart. Then you boldly confess them. We call it prophesying with the prophet. Keep saying the same thing. Declare them over your life consistently until you see the manifestation in full. Hallelujah. So you believe it with your heart, and then you confess it boldly. You keep saying the same thing in consent, and then you act on them accordingly. Talking of deeds of obedience, we say faith equals believing plus corresponding action. So you must act on what you believe. You take spirit-inspired corresponding actions. Faith is so important. So important. Prophetic words launches you into a world of endless possibilities, but it takes faith to activate those possibilities. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. Okay? That's very, very important. You must learn to fight the good fight of faith to see the fulfillment of prophetic words in your life on earth. If you want to see their corresponding materialization, you don't just wish them into manifestation. You war with those prophetic words. You engage in what we call the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul wrote to Timothy, is a fight what? The good fight of faith. Remember, I told you yesterday that whenever a prophecy is declared, prophetic words, declarations are made, it's not only you, the recipient, that heard it. Okay? The realm of the spirit too heard it. Okay? Angels heard it, demons heard it, God heard it, Satan heard it. So it will not be wise if you go to sleep doing nothing, because you know that the moment demons, Satan and his kingdom hears that prophetic word, which is, if it is a threat to their kingdom, you fulfilling that your prophetic destiny is a big threat as a child of God. So, and you know, one of their major assignments is to oppose the will of God, is to frustrate God's plan and purpose. They don't want it to find expression, to hinder all of that. So demons, Satan and his kingdom, they will be doing everything within their power to hinder and to stop and prevent that prophetic word from coming to pass in your life, to in opposition to God's will. So this is why I made that statement that prophetic declarations is an invitation to spiritual warfare. Yes, you must be ready to fight. You don't sit back doing nothing, just wishing that they will come to pass. No. You take responsibility. Okay? You partner with God in faith. You take responsibility. You engage in spiritual warfare to bet them into manifestation in this earth realm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Tell your neighbor, you have a part to play. You have a very serious part to play if you must see the manifestation of prophecies in your life. Yeah. It's a partnership. God has his part. There is a Godward part, then there is a manward part. For every divine manifestation to occur in the earth realm, there must be human partnership, human participation, human collaboration, cooperation. Okay? Now, the second one will be taken off from there. I won't be going into much details like I did yesterday concerning faith. I'll just be bringing out the salient points. The second key to activating prophecies is prayers with fasting. Exactly what we are doing. Hallelujah. Prayers boosted with fasting. Praise God. You know, fasting is a prayer booster, right? It's a prayer facilitator. It amplifies the effect of your prayer several fold. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You see, there are times that you notice prophetic words, the time for their fulfillment have come, but you are not seeing them manifesting in your life. That's not the time that you should be playing or eating food. That's the time that you should engage in what? Fervent prayer, boosted with fasting. In order to activate those prophecies to manifestation. Let me show you something. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. Watch this. Without the partnership of prayer and fasting, prophetic words can come to their season that they are supposed to be fulfilled, but they may end up being either delayed or even denied expression in the earth realm if nobody prays. Am I communicating? If nobody partner with God in prayer plus fasting. This is very important. You must be sensitive to the times and the seasons. There are times you step into particular seasons of your life that certain things are supposed to happen. Certain things are supposed to occur. Certain prophecies are supposed to find expression. But you are not seeing those things. What should you do? Engage in prayer and fasting. To do what? To partner with God to birth those prophecies. Am I communicating? To move them from the realm of the spirit into physical manifestation. The partnership of prayers is needed to birth prophecies on earth. So, like a midwife, you midwife their fulfillment. Am I communicating? For their birthing forth. There are some kind of prayer we call travailing prayer. Aya. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You want to birth prophecies? Engage in travailing prayer. You travail in the spirit until you prevail and get the note of victory. And then you birth them into this realm. Am I communicating? This is very important. Kalasu veletina. Even the spiritual power, you know, for prophecies to materialize in the earth realm, it requires power. The corresponding materialization or manifestation of prophecies on this side of eternity is a function of power. It requires spiritual power and energy to move prophecies from the realm of the spirit into the physical. It requires spiritual power. And the altar of prayer is where you generate that power. James 5:16b amplified, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And one of the workings of that power is to help the corresponding, is to provoke the manifestation of prophecies. It will drag them from the realm of the spirit, bring them into the physical. Spiritual power and energy, it helps to what? Provoke the corresponding materialization of prophecies in the earth realm. Hallelujah. Look at the story of Daniel. He said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. So he was a student of God's word. He was a student of prophecy, of the scriptures. Daniel understood by books. So he said, whereof, he said, I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Verse 3. And look at his response. He knew that the time has come, but they are still in captivity. So to avoid any delay, or denial of this prophecy of Isaiah in terms of finding manifestation on earth, what was Daniel's response? Look at this. He decided to partner with God in prayer and fasting. Look at it. He said, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Am I communicating? Anytime you are beginning to gather, you have more prophecies, plenty prophecies, little or no manifestation, is a call to prayer and fasting. Am I communicating? He said, Prophet Jeremiah, you see that prophecy in Jeremiah 25:11-14, 2 Chronicles 36:21. You see where Prophet Jeremiah prophesied that God's covenant people will be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. So, as at this time, Daniel knew that he needs to partner with God in prayer and fasting for the fulfillment of this prophecy, for them to come out of captivity, or else they will remain in captivity. Are you listening? Or else, because like I've told you before, prophecies don't fulfill themselves automatically. Though they are very authentic and genuine, you must learn to war with them in faith and prayers for their fulfillment. Am I communicating? You must play your part well. You must take responsibility, because you have a crucial part to play for their manifestations in your life. And in this story, Daniel's part, what was the part he was to play in partnership with God? Prayer and fasting. Prayer will generate spiritual power or energy that is needed to materialize prophecies, God's promises, etc., into manifestation. Hallelujah. Power is required to propel and provoke prophecies into manifestation. Give me James 5:16b. Without the partnership of faith and prayers, your prophetic destiny, listen to this very well, without the partnership of faith and prayers, your prophetic destiny can suffer delay, demonic delays, human delays, can even be denied expression in the earth realm. So it's possible for somebody not to fulfill their prophetic destiny. It's very possible. If the person doesn't understand what I'm teaching, if you don't take up the responsibility of prayers, if you don't learn to partner with God in faith, it's very possible that God will something does not mean it will happen automatically in your life on earth. He said, forever, O God, thy word is settled only in one place, that's in heaven. And the reason why it's so is because the kingdom of darkness does not exist in heaven. They are not there. So there is no opposition to the will of God. But if you want the will of God to be established and settled in your life on earth, it will require the partnership of faith and prayer. Am I communicating? It is important. Keleboko sabagadia. Prayerlessness can lead to demonic delays in terms of fulfillment of prophecies, demonic delays and hindrances, and satanic stagnation. Glory to God. I say glory to God. James 5:16b, I said, right? It says, confess your fault one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. Look at the B part. The effectual, give me an amplified, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This was the verse that made me to buy amplified Bible for the first time. Serious. This was the verse. This particular amplified version. When I read it, I heard it. Ah! I say I need amplified. I bought amplified. Glory to God. Look at how amplified put it. He said the earnest in bracket, heartfelt. Oh, your prayer must be heartfelt. You know, the way some of you pray, even you know you are not praying. Your mouth is just moving. You are not praying. See, real prayer must come from your heart. When you are praying, let it emanate like molten magma from your heart. Let it flow. In heaven, where your prayer is being heard, your heart, what you are saying in your heart, what your heart is doing, is speaking louder than your mouth. Your mouth, what you are saying with your mouth, will carry power, provided that is what is coming from your heart. Are you seeing this? If your mouth is saying A, your heart is saying B, in heaven, what they hear is B. Did you hear what I said? So, let your prayer have your heart's consent. What you are saying with your mouth, let it be flowing from your heart. Glory to God. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Heartfelt, that talks of passion. Your prayer must be passionate. It must be fervent. Continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power. Look at the adjective used to qualify the power, to describe the power. Tremendous power. Not small, small power. Available. And it is available power that is usable. Is that available power that will be used to provoke into manifestation the fulfillment of the prophetic word? Am I communicating? Is that available power that will be used to import prophecies from the unseen realm of the spirit into the seen physical realm? Hallelujah. It is an energy demanding exercise. It's an energy demanding process. It requires power. He says that power is dynamic in its working. That is where they get dunamis from. Dynamite. It works like a dynamite. And dynamite is an explosive device. Glory to God. I say glory to God. In Exodus 2:23-25, you will see how God's covenant people, the children of Israel, they were wallowing in captivity. The Bible says their life, look at it. Exodus 2:23. The Bible says, it came to pass in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. The bondage was too much oppression. They were slaves in Egypt. And they cried. They cried in prayer. Their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Watch this. Next verse 24. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with, as if he forgot. As though he forgot. What God was looking for was human partnership. As though he forgot. God remembered his covenant. This was after they have done 430 years in captivity. Can you imagine? Prophecy say, you know, in Genesis 15, God told Abraham. God was the first to prophesy to Abraham that his children, his descendants, they will be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And then after that, they will come out with great substance, because God will judge that nation that captivated them, that put them in bondage, which is Egypt. And that was what God did. Didn't God judge Egypt? God did, with those 10 plagues and then the financial economic judgment. God transferred the wealth of Egypt to his covenant people. The Bible said they spoiled the Egyptians. Okay, so now the prophecy says 400 years they will come out, but 400 years came and passed, they were still in captivity. 401 year, 410 years, because they did not pray, they did nothing, God too did nothing. 420 years, they were still there. So the delay was not God's fault. The delay was because of the what? Absence of human partnership of faith. Sorry, faith, yes. Prayers in this context. Glory to God. Until they cried to God in prayer, then God remembered his covenant. Watch this. And what did God do? What did he do? God looked upon the children of Israel, had respect unto them. Then Exodus 3:1. That's the next chapter, which is like a continuation. God started looking for a deliverer. Can you see this? That was when, if you read the story down 1-10, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He said, come, I've heard the cry of my people, I've seen their tears, I've seen how they have been oppressed. Come therefore, let me anoint you and then send you. I'm sending you on a mission as a deliverer to bring them out. Are you seeing this? And the Bible said, by a prophet, Prophet Moses, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. All this was because they prayed. They finally came out. Do you know that if they did not pray, Satan is a wicked oppressor. He does not open the door to his prisoners. In other words, their captor will keep them in captivity forever. Am I communicating? Satan will happily keep them in bondage in Egypt. Pharaoh will keep them forever and enslave them forever. Praise God. Then if you read 1 Kings 18:1, look at this. The prophecy concerning rain. You know, Prophet Elijah declared 3.5 years of famine, there shall be no rain nor dew according to my word, he told King Ahab, because of their idolatrous lifestyle. Okay, Egypt had gone into idolatry, led by who? King Ahab. Okay, so they left Jehovah, started worshipping Baal. And who engineered Ahab? His wife, Jezebel. And then Elijah got angry because he was jealous for God. And he knew from the Bible that anytime they go into Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, anytime they go into idolatry, the heavens are permitted to be shut. Am I communicating? He argued his case in prayer, shut the heavens. Then after 3.5 years, look at this. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain. This is like a prophetic word. Am I communicating? He said, go and show yourself unto Ahab, and I will what? Send rain. If you read on, you will realize that he finally met Ahab. He showed himself, but rain did not fall. Shall I show you? Okay, let's look at it. He showed himself. Rain did not fall automatically until Elijah prayed. Praise God. See, you must know how to activate prophecies through the power of prayer. Glory to God. Boosted with fasting. Facilitated with your fasting. Okay, look at it. Verse 15. That same 1 Kings 18:15. Okay, let me take it from 14. 1 Kings 18, 14. Okay, now, the first person Elijah met was Obadiah. Okay? He said, and now, thou sayest, Obadiah is the one speaking. Now, thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. You know, because he has been looking for Elijah. He said, Ahab will slay me, because if I come, I don't see you, I'm in trouble. Because Elijah moved by the transportation of the Holy Ghost, transportation of the Spirit. He said, if I leave you now, because even the way he met Obadiah was suddenly, if you read the Bible very well, he just appeared from nowhere, he just met him like this. Even Obadiah was surprised. Then Elijah told Obadiah, go and tell Ahab that Elijah is here. He said, I beg, spare my life, if I go and tell him. Is it, there is no kingdom or place that he has not looked for you. That is Ahab. If I go and tell him, and he comes and doesn't see you, he said, my head will go. He said, because as soon as I'm gone, I don't know where the Spirit of God will carry you and go. He was looking for assurance. Elijah had to assure him, okay, I will be here. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went and met Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he said, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken. You see, they started talking. They were arguing. He had shown himself to Ahab. Rain did not fall automatically. Rather, they were arguing issues, blaming each other. Praise God. Playing the blame game. But actually, the person to be blamed was Ahab. Praise God. So, watch this. Then jump to 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a what? Sound of abundance of rain. So, God did not lie. The rain was falling, but it was falling in the realm of the Spirit only. Am I communicating? There are things that you hear in the Spirit. There are prophecies you hear. There are prophecies in form of visions and all of that. God shows you. But for them to manifest in the earth realm, you must pray them. Are you getting me? You must engage in prayer. Prevailing prayer, traveling prayer, to bet them into manifestation. Glory to God. So, if you read down, you will see how Elijah climbed Mount Carmel, put his head between his knees, and started engaging in serious prayer, betting prayer, traveling prayer, until rain started falling. Am I communicating? If you read verse 45, it came to pass, meanwhile, that the heaven was black with cloud and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He gathered up his loins, ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He prayed until he made tremendous power available to pull and drag that rainfall that was only falling in the realm of the Spirit into physical manifestation. Can you see that? Can you see that? He betted that prophetic word on the altar of prayer. He prayed until, in fact, we call it cloud forming prayer. He prayed, he told the servant, after 1 hour, go and check. He said, nothing. He knew that the clouds were gathering in the spirit realm. He continued praying. He said, go and check. He said, nothing. 6 times until the 7th time. He said, I see a little cloud like the hand of a man. He knew that the transaction has been completed. He had prevailed in the spirit. Hallelujah. Even the coming of Jesus required a partnership of intercessors, Simeon and Anna. Can you imagine? That's the birth of Jesus the Messiah.
or else it could have been delayed, or he wouldn't have even come at all without the intercessors. Am I communicating? This is very important. Sometimes God's prophetic program is delayed in the earth realm or denied expression because of what? Absence of intercessors to bet it. People that will partner with God to midwife the moves of the Spirit. Am I communicating?
Sheleko seveletena. Brakatuska barakatina kondrobo seveletena.
Then the second key is, the third key rather, is honor for the anointed. Praise God. You learn to honor God and you honor the anointed, the prophet that he has sent to be a blessing to you. Not every prophet is sent to you. Praise God. By discernment, you should be able, beginning with your man of God, you must know those that are sent to you. Am I communicating? You must receive them with the right attitude. You see, I say you start with what? Discernment. You discern that this person is sent to me. Okay? And the prophet God sent to you is for your profiting, is for your prosperity, is to help you fulfill your prophetic destiny. Now listen, if the children of Israel had rejected Moses, do you know they would have rejected their deliverance? Because the Bible says, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, by a prophet was he preserved. God's method are his men, his sent ones. Your job is to discern them, recognize them, receive them with the right attitude. There is a wrong attitude for receiving the prophet or the anointed God have sent your way, placed over your life. Then there is the right attitude to receiving them. There is a wrong attitude. If you receive them with the wrong attitude, you cannot receive the reward they carry. Give me Matthew 10:41. So it matters the attitude with which you receive the anointed prophet that God have sent your way. Jesus said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, to drink and partake of that unique grace, that unique anointing, that prophetic blessing, that prophetic impartation of the blessing, that grace and anointing that the prophet carries. He said to partake of it, you must receive them with the right attitude. And what is that right attitude? Attitude of honor. Attitude of faith. Attitude of meekness. Attitude of joy. Because the prophet is a helper of your joy. They are sent to help you. They are a blessing, not a burden. Am I communicating? The Bible said there were many widows in Israel during that famine, but to none of them was Elijah sent. Prophet Elijah was not sent to any of the widows in Israel, but to the widow of Zarephath. Am I communicating? But it was Jesus that said that in Luke 4. But if you read the story in 1 Kings 17, it will look as if it was the widow at Zarephath that was trying to do Prophet Elijah a favor. But if you now read Jesus' account, you will realize that, okay, actually, God wanted to help the widow woman during that famine. You know, she would have died because she was gathering the last stick to prepare the last meal for she and her son to eat and die. So God wanted to help her and sustain her supernaturally. God did not need to come down. What God, you know, his method are men. All he needed to do was to send a prophet. Now imagine if she had rejected him, or she had received him with the wrong attitude. She would have died during that famine. Do you know God was feeding the prophet Elijah supernaturally? at the brook called Cherith. The word of the Lord came to him. He said, go hide yourself by the brook called Cherith. Drink of that brook. He said, there I have commanded the ravens, very greedy bird that don't give. But under divine command, they were bringing his breakfast and his dinner. Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. The Bible says for many days. And when Bible says many days, we don't know for how many months or how many years. For a long period, he was being supernaturally sustained. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. God knows how to feed the anointed. Do you know? God can move anybody in any part of the world. In fact, when men became scarce, God was using a bed to feed a prophet. But when God needed to help that widow, God allowed the brook to dry and then gave him a different instruction. Am I communicating? Oh, Rabba Kasaya. Receive them with the right attitude of honor. And honor is not just paying lip service. True honor is of the heart. True honor comes from the heart. Am I communicating? You know, there are people that kneel down, they even roll on the ground before the anointed and the prophet. But in their heart, they are cursing him. Yeah. God punish them. You understand? In their heart, they don't really honor the person. You know, true honor comes from the heart. You must have a heart of genuine honor for the anointed. If you want to see their prophetic words activated into manifestation, honor is very key. Honor them from the depth of your heart. Genuinely love them and honor them. Honor them with your words. If you honor them from your heart, it will overflow and come out of your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Honor them with your actions. Honor them and defend them. One of the ways to honor somebody is to defend their name. Defend them. Honor everything that pertains to them. Honor their family, honor their wife, honor their children, honor anything connected to them and defend them, both in their presence and their absence. In fact, much more in their absence. Defend them everywhere. Honor them with your words, spoken words, written words, text messages, make posts in their honor. There are so many ways you honor. Am I communicating? Glory to God. A heart of honor is very, very important. Give me Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Look at how the encounter between, when Elijah encountered the story. When he returned from the slaughter of the kings, the Bible says he encountered a prophetic priest. His name is called Melchizedek. Am I communicating? It says, for this Melchizedek was king of Salem. Salem means peace. Priest of the Most High, who met. So he was a king priest, a typology. He was a king priest. Actually, he was what the Bible calls Christophany, a type, of Christ in the Old Testament, because he was a king and a priest. Even Christ was described as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron or Levi, He says, king priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Did you see this? He blessed Abraham. Can you remember? He blessed Abraham. Abraham honored him with a tithe. He blessed Abraham. And the Bible says he gave Abraham two important communion elements. He brought forth what? Bread and wine. And I've explained the meaning of that two important element that Melchizedek brought forth. That bread and the wine is symbolic of the word of God and the spirit of God. The bread is the word of God. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So the word of God is likened to bread, a spiritual meal, revelation, knowledge of the truth. Okay? He brought forth bread and wine. Wine is a type of the Holy Spirit. So is the word and the spirit. You see, you know, for people that ask plenty questions, where should I tithe? Where should I tithe? All your question is in that story, Genesis 14. Go and study it. The first person that tithed was Abraham, and he did it by revelation. And notice where Abraham gave his tithe. He gave his tithe where the word and the spirit is being ministered to him, that is changing and transforming his life. Am I communicating? Melchizedek brought forth corn and wine, bread and wine, which is the word and the spirit that he ministered to Abraham. Ask yourself, which church or which ministry am I receiving the ministration of God's word and spirit that is transforming my life? If you answer that question sincerely, you already know where to tithe. It's as simple as that. Okay. You don't tithe to the dead. You know, tithing to the dead. Maybe one of these days we'll look at that. But that's by the way, okay? So, where did I leave off? We are talking about, you see, he blessed Abraham. Okay? He blessed him. Now, ask yourself, did you notice that before Abraham met Melchizedek, God had already blessed Abraham? He was a carrier of the promise. Are you seeing this? He was carrying promise of the blessing. But he needed a prophetic priest to activate it into manifestation. Are you listening? You know, some so-called New Testament folks, New Testament, New Creation Reality people. And there is nothing wrong with New Creation Reality. I study and I teach it. But some that have taken it to the extreme, they will quote Ephesians 1 verse 3, that we are already blessed in Christ. Christ has blessed us with all spiritual blessing, a heavenly place. I don't need anybody to bless. I'm already blessed. You see, you need to read Bible very well and shine your eye, or else you will go into error. You understand? Somebody is praying for them. Yeah. Which other blessing again? We're already blessed in Christ now. We don't need any other blessing. Read your Bible well. Abraham was already a blessed man. It was God himself that released the promise of the blessing. But that same God still sent a prophetic priest to activate that blessing into manifestation. He blessed Abraham. Am I communicating? Next verse. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part, that's the tithe of all. First, by interpretation, king of righteousness. After that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Next verse. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. So he was a Christophany. Abided a priest continually. Is an everlasting priesthood. Next verse. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Okay, I know honor is one of the anchor law that control giving and tithing in the Bible. Next verse. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Is it? that is of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. Verse 6. Watch this. But he whose descent is not counted from them received, that's Melchizedek, he received the tithes, in plural, of Abraham, and blessed him, that's Abraham, he blessed him that had the promises. Which promise? The promise of the blessing. He blessed him that had the promise. Verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Glory to God. Abraham honored him with a tithe. Melchizedek ministered corn and wine, and then he proclaimed the blessing over his life to activate the promise that Abraham was carrying. Am I communicating? You need to understand the spiritual transactions that took place there. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Sheli Gobo Rabakataya. So you learn to honor the anointed. Oh, I say honor them from the depth of your heart. Honor them with your words, your action. Then honor them with your substance. There is what we call seed of honor. It's called honorarium. Where they get the word honorarium from? Give me 1 Samuel 9 verse 5. 1 Samuel 9 verse 5. Honor them with your substance. Glory to God. Sow into their lives intentionally. You do it intentionally on a consistent basis. See, look up. For a long time, I've been doing so many other things. But when, through the help of certain ministers, when God opened my eyes to some of these secrets of learning to honor the prophets, beginning with your man of God, your pastor, that God has put over your life. When I started doing that, I started making more spiritual progress and progress in other areas. It's a powerful principle. Are you listening to what I'm teaching? Now listen. Oh, how do I explain this thing? Honor is a code in the spirit. When you give, never see it as if you are doing the prophet a favor. If when I give to anybody, I don't see it as if I'm doing them a favor. Mm-mm. I am doing myself a favor. If I thank them for receiving the seed, because if they don't receive it, how will I be blessed? Are you getting me? It is me that needs to honor a law or a principle for the blessing to flow to me. For what they carry, what the Bible calls the prophet's reward. Am I communicating? You can partake of the grace upon the anointed through your seed of honor. In Philippians 1:7, Paul told the whole church in Philippi, he said, all of you are partakers of my grace. How did they become partaker of his grace? It's through partnership with the prophet, partnership with the anointed. Remember, is that Philippians 4:15 down to 19? It says, you remember, you sent once and again, they were his number one partners. They kept partnering with him, sowing into his life. He said, you gave unto my necessities. Anytime Apostle Paul is in need, they send seed. They kept sowing. That was the only church Apostle Paul prayed out popular Philippians 4:19 prayer. But my God, Pastor Mafeng even read it when he was leading prayer. But my God shall supply all your need. What did they do to provoke the prophet to pray that prayer for them? Why didn't Paul pray this prayer for the Ephesian church? He didn't pray for the Colossian church. Or did he? He didn't pray for all the other churches. Why this church? It's because they were his partners. Are you seeing this? See, you learn to gladden the heart of your prophet, the anointed. There's what we call the law of the venison. Can you remember when Isaac was about to die? He needed to release that blessing of Abraham that he received from his father to his firstborn, that is Esau. Now, did you notice he didn't just say, Esau, come, kneel down. And he started praying for him. What did he tell him to do? He said he should carry his bow and arrow. He was a hunter. He said, go and get hunt game, get animal, prepare me the best meal, savory meal, such as I love. The one that when I smell the aroma, I will just become happy. Is there a connection? Yes, there is. Are you getting me? Because when you gladden the heart of the anointed by doing some surprising things like that, there is a heavy flow. It's so easy for them to release the blessing upon you. Am I communicating? He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. A man of God said, trying to quote that scripture and without doing what the church in Philippi, the Philippian church did, without sowing, giving, partnering with the anointed. Is it trying to quote that is equal to spiritual 419? And you know it's 419. Is it not 419? So you are like a spiritual 419. Have you not been so? So let's say we are writing exam and I ask question. Who is a spiritual 419? Is somebody claiming the blessings of Philippians 419 without the practice, without practicing what they did to provoke? Are you getting me? Praise God. Powerful principle. So you learn the principle of honor. Honor God and then honor his servants. Praise God. So I say 1 Samuel 9:5, right? Give me 1 Samuel 9:5. Honor them with your substance. There is a difference between honor for the anointed and respect for the anointed. What many people do is respect. Look up, look up. Let me tell you the difference. Honor is documented with substance. Proverbs 3:9. Don't go there, O media. It says, honor the Lord with your substance. So honor is documented with substance. You can respect a man of God without giving to them. But you cannot truly honor a man of God without sowing into their lives. I'm teaching you these things because they are biblical truths. Okay? It's not because somebody is looking for something from you. No. Far be it from it. You know, sometimes when we preach like this, some people will say, oh, dear comrades, the greedy men of God. They say, no grief for any pastor to collect your money this year. After all, that's the prophetic team. Is that not the prophetic word for social media? Social media people say no grief for anybody. I mean, obviously, so Malcolm, they say no grief for anybody. Say no grief for any pastor. Make you collect your tithe, your first fruit, your offering. Say all of them are con men. Is that not what they are saying? Please read your Bible. If don't follow social media. I've said it over and over again. The spirit at work. The prince of the power of the air. Do you think they will ever support the body of Christ or support men of God? Wake up. We are at war. It's a warfare. Study God's word. Sit under anointed sound teaching. Be in the right church. Don't be following trend on social media. Am I communicating? This is the truth. Pastors were with me during the... I was sharing with them. I said, where I went to minister in Zaria, the church, miracle service. I was to minister in the miracle service. But while I sat down there, God told me something. He said, I should tell the congregation that they are not honoring their pastor and his wife very well as they ought. They are not honoring them, and that is why they are not prospering. I heard it so clearly. And then the Lord said, tell them that when they start honoring their pastor and his wife very well, it's going to open the windows of it will rain prosperity on the members. And that was the first thing when I came up, even before I started the miracle service. I told them, raw as it is. And it's not me and the pastor did not discuss anything. Oh, he's a honorable man of God. Okay, he had served under winners. He was my pastor when I did NYSC in Zuru before God led him to start his own work. He was a Living Faith pastor in Zuru. He's not a greedy man of God, he's honorable. You know, and then the pastor, after the service, he said he is surprised what I said. Is it because God had told him the same thing before? It's just that he doesn't know how to tell them. You know, when you tell some people, they'll say you are looking for money from them. It's you that need what they carry. Are you getting me? Your pastor, your prophet is for your prosperity, is for your profiting. When you learn to honor them well, the heavens will open now. Am I communicating? I told them. The pastor was so happy. He was so happy that they even raised offering for me. In the midst of a father of the faith there, Reverend Joshua Tende. You understand? Do you know how risky it is? The pastor say he's led to do it. He say he knows it's a risk because his spiritual father is Reverend Tende. He's not taking offering from Reverend Tende. He said they should take for me. Just because I obey what God said I should say, I said it. He said he was praying. He was praying one time in his room. How God told him that self. It was an encounter. He said, the Holy Ghost brought the name of like 10 people or so. You understand? You know? And then the Holy Ghost asks him, what do you want me to do for these 10 people? Because I'm about to bless these 10 people. And then he said, when he checked the 10 people, he was surprised that only one was a member of his church. One. Only one of them. All the other 9 were outsiders. Most of them. And then he said, Lord, they are very needy people. They are people he has been praying for in the church. Why are they not part of this list? Why are all the 10 not part? And hear what God told him. He said, these 10 names that I say I'm going to bless, he said, they are the people that honor you. And truly, when he checked, those 10 names are the people that always give to him. They sow into his life consistently. They give to the church. Anytime they are having program, convention, all those budget, he confided in me. He said, majority of the money is from outsiders. So these are the partners, outsiders. These people, they are the one to sow. They are the one that give. So that's why God wants to bless them. But when I taught them that thing, the thing changed their mindset. Very powerful principle. Am I communicating? Your prosperity is tied to it. Believe the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. Believe the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe in his prophet, you will prosper. The Hebrew word is salach. You will make progress. You will break forth. Am I communicating? I made up my mind that, look, something must leave me on a monthly basis or weekly basis, but minimum, something must leave me. I must sow a seed to my pastor, to my prophet every month, no matter how things are biting for me. And then we as a ministry, we will do the same. It's a principle, you can't break it. Are you getting me? Remember, is the anointing upon the man of God that is upon the ministry. You know, some people know how to give to the ministry of the man of God, but they've not learned this one. They've not learned how to give to the man of God, forgetting that it is what is on him that is upon the ministry. God does not anoint buildings. God anoints men. The anointing is actually on the man of God. It's from him the team flowed to the ministry. So there is a level of partnering with the ministry of the man of God. Then there is a level of partnering with the man of God. The two are not the same. They are related. They are not the same. Am I communicating? Are you learning something? You know, when we teach like this, some people say they have come again. These are principles. They are in the Bible. You can't break them. It was Pastor Korede Komaya KK that opened my eyes to that. He said, he said something that scattered my brain. Initially, I didn't even agree. Until when I studied the Bible, I said, what? I said, this thing is true. He says sowing to a man of God is rated higher, is on a higher level than even giving to his ministry. When I first heard it, I didn't agree with him. But when I studied the Bible, I said, this man is very correct. Powerful principle. Praise God. So, don't just sow to the ministry. Sow to the man of God. We have some AGMI partners that they don't just partner with AGMI. They partner with me. Am I communicating? And of course, they can't escape the blessing coming from both hands. Glory to God. So, learn this principle. Let's read 1 Samuel 9 verse 5. It says, and when they were come to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant, at this point, they were almost giving up. They are looking for their father's missing asses up and down. They didn't find it anywhere. So they wanted to go until somebody suggested that they should come and see the seer. He said, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. Next verse. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. He is an honorable man. Very important. He's talking of his character. Honorable man. All that he saith surely come to pass. So he has prophetic integrity. He said, now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Next verse. Then said Saul to the servant, watch this. But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man of God? This is where the word honorarium came from. Seed of honor. Okay? Saul had enough spiritual intelligence to understand that you go and see the man of God with a seed of honor. It's not because he needs it. It's you that needs to connect to the grace. Am I communicating? He said, for the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? Praise God. I think it was Bishop Irabo Wisdom. I read a post he made. He said when they were struggling to build their church, you know, there was a man of God that came and he went to the site to pray on it. See, you know, and the man of God gave him a prophecy, a prophetic word from the Lord. He said, God said you should just engage in how many days? Is it 1 week or so? Praise like that. You should just come praise him. No prayer, just praise for straight 7 days. I don't know whether it's 7 days or more than 7 days. If you are engaged in praise, and then there will be supernatural supplies for money to finish the project. You know, because they were struggling financially, the money was not there. And this man of God that came and gave that prophecy, at that point, they don't have a church structure of their own. They are still renting. At that point, they are even in a tighter financial condition than him. So if you go by ministry, he appears to even be ahead of that man of God. But he said he believed those prophetic words, and immediately he sowed into it. He even sowed a seed. He gave the man of God a seed. He sowed into that prophetic word and obeyed that instruction. When they did those 7 days of praise, he said that was it. God moved someone that sold, paid his tithe in billions. Is it one was? Is it how many billion? 3 billion here, 2 billion here. People paid tithe in billion to his church, and that was it. They were able to finish everything. I imagine if he had despised that man, he said, when somebody promise you shoe, you go first look at the one way in the way. Have you heard people? That is how people miss their breakthrough. Am I communicating? Nobody was born with results. Everybody got the result on earth by applying certain principles and laws. Are you getting me? So when people say you cannot give what you don't have, it's correct if they are talking of spiritually speaking. But if you are using physical parameters, you are wrong with that statement. Am I communicating? You are wrong if you go by physical parameters. But if you use spiritual parameter, yes. Are you getting my point? Glory to God. Why am I taking long time with this? It's because you people need to hear it. Okay? So Luke chapter 4 verse 24. Luke 4:24. Praise God. It says, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Why? Because of over familiarity that leads to dishonor. Next verse. Most of the times, okay, let me say this. The closer you are to the anointed, the more careful you should be. You must be on the lookout, consciously guard against over familiarity. It's something you must be intentional about, or else is usually the normal tendency. Okay? It's usually the normal tendency for over familiarity to set in. This is the reason why most of the times people honor guest ministers more than their pastor. It's because of over familiarity. They see the pastor every day. But guest minister comes once in a blue moon. And there is this saying, there's a scarcity induced value, Abi. People tend to value anything that they don't usually have access to all the time. They tend to value it more than the one that they always have access. You know, it's just like today, if a man of God has a protocol that if you try come close to him, they will blow you, push you away. You have to suffer like this before you finally see him. Now, they tend to honor that one more than the one that you usually have access to. The one that even after service, you can even walk up to him and meet. Just because somebody gave you gift of access is approachable. Therefore, many people abuse it. Me, as a rule, I'm a free person, I'm approachable and all of that. But once I notice somebody is beginning to abuse access, I block the access. It's for the person's good. It's not wickedness. I block the access. You understand? I'll just block the access. So that the person will learn, you know, not to abuse access. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So, it says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Next verse, it says, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Can you see? Notice that was sent. Somebody say sent. So you learn to discern and receive the prophet sent to you, per time, per season. Next verse. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed. None of them were cleansed of leprosy, save Naaman the Syrian, a foreigner. Can you see this? Why? Because others were walking in dishonor. Are you seeing this? When you dishonor those God have sent to you, is outsiders God will start sending them to, I'm telling you, God will send them to outsiders. Strangers will start partaking of that grace. And it's not God's fault. It's because of your dishonor. Glory to God. If you read Mark 14:3-9, you will see how Mary broke that alabaster perfume oil. Okay? She was a prostitute, right? Out of whom Jesus casted out 7 demons. She saved so much money that she was able to buy that designer perfume. It's like the average salary of an average worker in Israel for 1 year. Imagine 1 year salary. She bought that perfume with it. She just lavished the whole thing on Jesus. She honored him with it. And what was Judas's response? Why waste? Okay? Now, I want you to see that attitude, because that same thing is playing out in our day today. People see giving to the anointed, giving to prophet as a waste. Why should I give to Oyedepo? Is it not supposed to be the one helping me? Haven't you heard people talk like that? No. Is it not? Look at it. You think of it. Even natural thinking self, who is supposed to give who money? But spiritual things are not like that. Are you seeing this? Spiritual things are not like that. I can't go to Bishop Oyedepo and be asking him for money. Am I mad? I don't ever do that. Praise God. You know, there are some people that come for mentorship, but it's sponsorship they want. Sir, is it mentorship or sponsorship? Is the man of God both too? They will just be billing you. You are not wise. The man of God may give you out of love, but you are not wise. Praise God. You are being foolish. You know, the wisdom of God is foolishness with men. Doesn't make sense. That's why I say, if you follow social media, you will lose your destiny. The wisdom of God is foolishness with men. You understand? They call giving to the anointed as waste. Go down, read it. She poured it on his head. The Bible says the moment she broke that alabaster box of ointment, the fragrance filled the whole house. That's to tell you that it's designer perfume. It's not this type of perfume some of you are wearing, no. If you wear this kind of perfume, you will be here. Somebody there where Jerome is seated will be perceiving it. The cloth you spray it, even when you wash the cloth, dry it, the thing will still be smelling. Are you seeing this? Very expensive. She just lavish the salary of a one average worker for 1 year on Jesus. And then Judas shouted, protested. Why this waste? Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. No. I said Mark chapter what? That's not the scripture. Mark chapter what? 14 verse 3-9. Mark 14:3-9. Give me that verse that they were talking that is waste. Go down, verse 4. There were some that had indignation within themselves. They became angry. Is this not happening today? Look up. Let me show you something. People don't fight giving to the poor. It is scriptural. It's correct. It makes sense. That one makes sense. Listen. Giving to the poor and needy, orphans, widow in need, it makes sense to human beings generally, because it appeals to human nature. Help the poor now. Help the do charity and all of that. Are you getting me? Even people that are not born again, they even do those things. Okay? But the one people fight, because it doesn't make sense to them, they get angry, is given to the anointed. And it's in the Bible. Look at it. Even Jesus' disciple among them, the Bible says they were filled with indignation. Because as far as they are concerned, it is a waste, a colossal waste. Because they don't value the anointed. If they truly value Jesus in their midst, would they be angry? The anointed is priceless. The anointing on the anointed, the grace on them is priceless, and it is for your benefit. There is no earthly, listen, no amount of money can be equated, is equivalent. No amount, even if you give the anointed all the houses in the world, is still not equal to what they have given you. Are you seeing this? It's still less than it. The spiritual is always greater than the physical or the natural or material things. They were filled with indignation within themselves and say, why was this waste of the ointment made? Now, if you John 12, if you read John's account of the same story, we were told the specific person that started the protest, that protest march, it was Judas. Go down. Verse 4. Okay, so that you see it better. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Next verse. Why was not this ointment sold for? He even knew the amount. Thief. Barao. He knew the cost price, the market price, 300 pence, and giving to the poor as if he loved the poor. Let me tell you something. Most people that talk against, get angry, they protest against giving to the anointed. Most of them, in fact, those people, they are not givers. They are not givers. That's the truth. If you are a giver, you will not do that. I mean a genuine giver. He said this as though he loved the poor. He himself, does he give to the poor? Judas, greedy thief like him, does he give to the poor? Next verse. The Bible, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Can you see? And had the bag and bear what was, he was a treasurer. God is still looking for treasurers today that he can commit kingdom wealth and resources to. Because the one Jesus had, Judas, failed him. Because of greed and covetousness. He was always stealing from the back. Just imagine you, your ministry, having, in Jesus' ministry, had an accountant. Who was the accountant? Matthew, Levi. He had a treasurer. His name is Judas. Imagine having a treasurer that was constantly stealing from the purse. And yet the purse did not run dry. For those that say Jesus was broke, think again. Am I communicating? And Jesus' ministry, one of their practices is giving to the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, had the bag, bear what was put therein. Next verse. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial, she has kept this. Next verse. For the poor always ye have with you. For those that say Jesus was poor, read this scripture. Jesus demarcated, separated, distinguished himself from the poor. He said, the poor you... He didn't say, we poor people, we the poor masses. Did you notice? He said, the poor you always have with you, but me you don't always have. You know, it's a privilege, it's an honor to always have the anointed. Are you seeing this? Always see your encounter with the prophet, the anointed, as a privilege and honor. Because you don't always have them around. Take advantage of it. Glory to God. So all those people, you hear them shouting, all these men of God, buying private jet, right, people are suffering. Why can't they help the poor? Why can't they? They will go and build expenses with university. Poor people cannot afford the university. Ask them, you, what have you done for the poor? Greedy people. Do you know how many people are on Bishop Oyedepo scholarship? Do you know how many people he's feeding? Their foundations, people just talk of what they don't know. That same man of God you are attacking is helping the poor far, far, far more than you that is complaining. Just because you have phone and data, nobody will hear word again. You now type one very long, so we even use laptop to make it long, faster. And then paste it. Social media has made it possible for everybody to express their opinion. But that you express your opinion does not make it right. So be careful. Praise God. Let's move. Then the next key to activating prophecies is what? Number 4. Let me put it this way. Giving and sacrifice is related to number 3, but it's not exactly the same. Am I communicating? You honor the anointed, you honor him, of course, even with your substance, okay? Then there is a key of giving and sacrifice. Am I communicating? Listen to this. Sacrifice is an eloquent language of power in the realm of the spirit that is well understood by spirit beings. When you put a sacrifice on the altar, spiritual forces are unleashed in your favor. Spirit beings respond to your sacrifice and they answer in your favor. There are some prophecies over your life that will demand your giving and your sacrifice to activate them into manifestation. So you learn to sow your seed. Am I communicating? When prophecies are spoken, one of the important responses, in addition to faith, your confession of faith, in addition to your prayer, fasting, learn to sow a special seed. Learn to give and give sacrificially to activate that prophecy. That's why, don't you see, sometimes in AGMI, as I minister, sometimes I start prophesying. Did you notice there are some people that we get up and carry seed and come and put on the envelope? Not offering, no. What are they doing? Do you think those people are fools? They have understanding. When a prophecy is released that addresses your issue, and God knows everybody's issue, he can put your word in the mouth of the prophet that is ministering. And whenever I now declare those words that addresses their problems and issue, those that are wise, they will carry, package a seed, put in envelope or whatever, they will now come and put it on the altar. What are they doing? They are activating that prophecy into manifestation. Are you seeing this? It's a powerful principle. Powerful principle. In fact, when you notice too much delay, prophecies being delayed, you have applied principle of faith, you have prayed, you have fasted, you are still not seeing manifestation, start sowing seed. Give. If you still don't see anything, increase the giving. If you don't see anything, give sacrificial. Look for a sacrifice. Are you getting me? Powerful. Sacrifice is a captivity turner. If you want to see radical turnaround, dramatic manifestations of prophetic words, learn the key of sacrifice. Sacrifice secures favor with the realm of the spirit, leading to victory, success, prosperity. Hallelujah. Was it not after Abraham agreed to sacrifice Isaac? In fact, the Bible says in his heart on Mount Moriah, in obedience to God, in his heart, he had already killed Isaac. And whatever you do in your heart, God takes it as done in the realm of the spirit. So he was just about to do physically what has already happened in his heart. Then the angel of the Lord says, stop, you have passed the obedience test. He said, because you have done this. Genesis 22, if you read 1 to 18, God said, I swear, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. He activated prophecies and promises through his sacrifice. Am I communicating? In 1 Samuel 7, 8 to 10, very interesting. 1 Samuel 7, 8 to 10, watch this. It was a battle, the Philistine against the children of Israel. The children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistine. Next verse. He says, and Samuel took a suckling lamb, watch this, and offered it for a burnt offering. He gave to God a sacrifice. They were about to go to war. They're about to fight. And look at the priesthood duty that Prophet Samuel was discharging. He was giving God a sacrifice on the behalf of Israel. And the Bible says, Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And by the way, giving and sacrifice is also one of the prayer facilitators. Just like fasting is a prayer facilitator, giving and sacrifice too is a prayer booster. It's an enhancer. Okay? He says, the Lord heard him. Next verse, what did the Lord do? And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered, hallelujah, with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistine and discomfited them. Can you shout amen? And they were smitten before Israel. The power of sacrifice, it brings victory. When demonic people sacrifice to their demons, the demons secure favor for them. When we sacrifice to God, you enjoy favor from God. Even angels start moving things in the spiritual and in the physical realm to favor you. Hallelujah. Even God, do you know it has always been God's dream to bring many other sons to glory? It has always been God's dream to have a family made up of billions of believers. It has always been his dream. But for that dream to come to pass, God needed to sacrifice Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God tried every other thing to redeem mankind. He tried every other formula. It didn't work. Read your Bible. He gave them the law. They couldn't keep it. It didn't work. He sent prophets, both major and minor prophets. It still did not work. The ultimate key was sacrifice. Jesus needed to come and die. Powerful principle. Hallelujah. He said, except a corn of wheat, John 12 verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall down and die, it abides alone. But when it falls down and die, it brings forth much fruit. So Jesus was that corn of wheat. He died, and then we are the harvest from that seed. Am I communicating? The body of Christ. Hebrews 2:9-10. By Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, he has brought many sons to glory. Hallelujah. In Judges 20, a very interesting story between the children of Israel and their brother, the Benjamite. Okay, one battle like that. Judges 20, 18-48. You go back and read it. I don't have time, but the summary is what I will give you. They said, they consulted God before the battle. They said, should we go and fight against our brother, the Benjamite? God said, go. They went. The Benjamite defeated them. And the Benjamite were very skillful. The Bible said they had left-handed soldiers. So many. Is it 700? That could sling a stone and throw it at air's breadth. That's to tell you the skill and accuracy. They don't miss targets. The power of training, they've been so trained and so skillful that they could throw stone at air's breadth. Israel or was it Judah or Israel? Children of Israel, they were defeated. Even though God said they should go, yet they lost. The Bible said they came back, they cried before the Lord, they inquired again, should we go? God said they should go. They still suffer. In fact, this time around, the defeat was more than the first one. The people that died was more than the first defeat. This third time, they decided to do something different. They went and inquired of the Lord. The Bible says they now added fasting to their prayer. They added fasting. They boosted it with fasting. And then they now gave to God sacrifice. They added two prayer boosters. What were the boosters? Fasting and what? Sacrifice. And then they now say, Lord, should we go? God says, should go. Surely I will deliver. Even the response changed. I will deliver them into your hand. And that was it. They got the victory. You know, some people wonder. They say, I was sure I was going to get that job. God even gave me a prophetic word concerning the job. But look at me. I went, I did the interview. They shortlisted me. My name was not there. People have even resumed. I didn't get it. And God gave me a word. Did God lie to me? No. God did not lie to you. He didn't know how to activate prophecy. You did not play your part well. Are you seeing this? Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Then, very interesting story of the king of Moab. What he did. 2 Kings 3, 9-27. When three nations ganged up, the children of Israel, the children of Judah, king of Israel, king of Judah, and king of Edom, they marshaled their allied forces against only one king of Moab. Can he win that battle? Can Moab, king of Moab, can he win against those three solid nations? The Bible says they were winning. In fact, prophet Elisha, major prophet, senior prophet over Israel, he had already prophesied victory when they inquired of the Lord. He prophesied victory before the king of Israel and the king of Judah went to fight against Moab. Okay? And the prophecy was coming to pass. So in the process of the war, They were winning. King of Moab did everything. He took 700 of his best soldiers to break through the weakest link. What was the weakest link? Edom. Those Edomite soldiers, where the king of Edom was. But the Bible says he could not. He knew that it was game over. He could not. So what did he do? As a final Dick's joker, the Bible says he took his son. He understood the power of sacrifice. He took his son that should be king in his stead, the heir apparent to the throne, and sacrificed him on the wall. His love for his kingdom, for the preservation of his kingdom, was greater than any other selfish reason. He was ready to even part way with his son than for his kingdom to be destroyed. And then God also saw in him what he himself is planning to do. No, God too was planning to sacrifice his son. God saw it in Abraham when Abraham wanted to kill Isaac. Now God saw it in this king. And the Bible says there was great indignation against Israel. The realm of the spirit responded in their favor. And there was no blood of Jesus to speak for the children of Israel then. It was the blood of what? Bulls and goats. And this man sacrificed human blood. Which one carries more power? So Israel needed to go back. There was a great indignation. Are you seeing the power change hands? The spirit realm started fighting them. Higher. That's why I said spirit beings respond to sacrifice. Are you seeing this? It was Apostle Gbenga Igbafen. He said one day, their daughter was afflicted with an illness. She just suddenly, is it that she went paralyzed or something? Their daughter. Ah, his wife started crying. Agreement prayer. The man of God said, ah, is it this one? It's not agreement prayer. It's agreement sowing. He went and carried his check and wrote a sacrificial seed. He wrote it almost, he cleared his account by that amount. He said when he gave that sacrifice, their daughter became normal. That is how powerful sacrifice is. Pastor Chris Oyakilome, he said he went for a healing crusade, but he himself was afflicted with a terrible pain. He said he had done everything. This pain refused to go. Applied all the faith principle, commanded it to go, confession, prayer, everything. The pain just refused to go. And he has to go and minister in this meeting. But not with this pain. Then he said a man of God came to see him in the hotel he lodged. That was before the crusade. And the man of God just came to greet him and all of that. And then the Lord spoke to him. He said, carry your best car. God gave him an instruction. He said, sow your best car. He said, give this man of God. He said, when he obeyed that instruction, see, even the man of God was surprised. See, he gave him the car, he gave him the key. He said, as the man was as the man of God was driving the car out of the compound, he said the pain was leaving. As the more he was going, the pain was leaving. The moment the man left, the pain left. Are you listening? The power of giving and sacrifice. You know, many people know how to pray, but they don't know this one. If I announce 100 days prayer and fasting, there are people that will do it. But just announce giving and sacrificial giving. Just watch how many people. Pastor E.A. Adeboye said something that really touched me. He said, the founder of Redeem is spiritual father, Paakinda Yomi. There was a time church was in need financially. They needed to do something in church. They needed money urgently. He said, Paakinda Yomi announced, he said, after service, all leaders, all workers, as in church workers, should wait behind. He now announced to all the leaders and workers that, look, we have this urgent need that requires money. And here is the instruction that he said the Lord gave him. He said, go and close your account. Empty, as in everything inside your account. Close the account. Empty it. Bring whatever is inside and come and sow it. Give it to God so that we can meet this need. Just imagine me on Sunday, I give that instruction. How many people will even obey me? You see? Even when I say God said, and you know me, I will not lie. Even if it was God, do you know there are still people that will not obey? So he gave the instruction, go and empty your account, bring the money. The Lord is in need of it. Abi? And then, the only person that obeyed that instruction was him and his wife. And he did not know until when Paakinda Yomi was asking. And at that point, the need has been met. He now said, how many of you, during workers' meeting, leaders' workers' meeting, how many of you obeyed that instruction? If you obeyed, get up. Only him and his wife were up. Even him, he was surprised. Even some of the pastors in front, none of them will. No wonder, later, God, when Paakinda Yomi was praying, Lord, who will I hand over to? God said, hand over to this man. Since now only him gets sense. You understand? God says, you hand over the church, not to all the associate pastors. He said, give it. And he was a new worker then. He was just Paakinda Yomi interpreter. See, God is looking at people's heart too. Even as people are serving. He said, hand it over to the young man. And look at where he has taken Redeemed to. Are you seeing this? Praise God. Are you learning something? Number 5, joyful praise. I have to round up. Joyful praise. The fifth key to activating prophecy is what? Joyful praise. When prophetic words are spoken, rejoice. Start rejoicing. Start praising and thanking God for it. Thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. Romans 4:20. The Bible says Abraham is staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Can you shout amen? Amen. Joyful praise. David said, I rejoice over your word as one that has found a great spoil. Learn to rejoice over prophetic words. The moment prophecies are declared over your life, start rejoicing. Start thanking God. Start seeing the answer. Am I communicating? In John 11 verse 4, when Lazarus was sick and he was near unto death, they told Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. And hear what Jesus told them. This sickness is not unto death. That was a prophecy that he will not die. Satan heard it and killed Lazarus. Watch this. Satan heard it and killed. My sister is laughing. Satan heard that prophecy and killed Lazarus. He said, let me do my worst. And now, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Give me verse 41, John 11:41. Lazarus was now dead and stinking. Jesus even delayed for 4 days. They were already saying, oh, master, if you were around, my brother would not have died. And then the Bible says, Jesus, look at what he did. He said, where did you lay him? He then said, take off the stone. Then they took away the stone from the place, that is the sepulchre, where the dead was laid. And Jesus, watch this, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. When did the Father heard him? When he said, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus did not doubt that the Father heard him. Am I communicating? He didn't doubt that prophetic word. Not even when the opposite happened. Where you separate babies, spiritual babies, babes, from those that are mature, is in times like this. Are you listening? You declare something, Satan made the opposite to happen. Will you still hold on to the confession of your faith, or you will start talking in line with what is happening? Look at Jesus there. He's a spiritual man. Nothing has changed as far as Jesus is concerned. Are you listening? Rather, what he was doing, instead of complaining, instead of grumbling, instead of murmuring, oh God, don't allow the man of God to be disgraced. You understand? The man of God has prophesied. Lord, do something. Is that what he said? No. Rather, to activate that prophetic word, he used the key of praise and thanksgiving. He knew that it was is a reality. You know, the Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen. A spiritual man is not moved by what is happening in the physical. He says, there are unseen realities that we do business with. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. They are subject to change. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. The things that are seen, the event, the circumstances, the problems, the challenges, they are not permanent, they are temporal. They are spiritual buttons you press here and there and there, you change them. Are you getting me? They are subject changeable. So you don't live your life and base your faith on those things. Am I communicating? Father, I thank thee because thou hast heard me. And after he said that, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was there came out, bound hand and foot. And he said, loose him and let him go. So who had the last laugh? It was Jesus. Satan thought he had won. sometimes it will appear as if Satan is winning in the marathon race. You know, usually in marathon race, those that use their energy, in front initially, are they always the people that end up winning? No. Sometimes in your life, it will appear as if Satan is winning in the initial phases. But ultimately, you will win. Aya. Ultimately, the word of God concerning you will come to pass. Are you getting me? Satan can fight, but is not permitted to get the victory at the end. So, by the applying the key of praise and thanksgiving, Jesus activated the prophecy concerning the fact that Lazarus will not die. He activated it to what? Manifestation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In 2 Chronicles 20, a long reading, 20 to 25, if you read it, when three nations ganged up against Judah, Jehoshaphat being the king of Judah, the Bible says the children of Moab, the children of Ammon and Monsia, they ganged up against them. There's no military or human intelligence to use to defeat those people. No military strategy. So what did he do? He decided to seek God's face, proclaim prayer and fasting. Everybody, they stood before God. And then when they were praying and fasting, the spirit of prophecy came upon one of the Levites. And then he gave them a word of wisdom. He said, you do not need to fear, or you won't even fight in this battle. The battle is the Lord's. And then he now gave them a strategy. And what was the strategy of the Spirit, the wisdom of God for victory? He says, set forth singers. Let them be in front. Let them worship God. And the Bible says, and as they began to sing and to praise, what happened? The Lord set ambushment against Moab, against Ammon and Monsia, and confusion broke out in their camp, and they helped to kill each other. They so killed each other that nobody escaped. All of them were dead. Israel only went to gather the spoil. And the Bible said they were there for 3 days gathering the spoil. Somebody say abundance. The key of what? Praise. How were they able to activate that prophecy that the Levite prophesied to them? It was through praise. Am I communicating? Faith and praise, actually. Glory to God. And there is a connection between faith and praise. Praise is what? The native language of mature faith that has received. Okay? The sixth one is obedience to. Sixth key to activating prophecies is obedience to prophetic instructions. Obedience to prophetic instructions and God's leading. Praise God. And divine leading. Praise God. If you want to see prophecies fulfilled, learn to obey prophetic instructions and the leadings of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Pastor Nenkub read that story, 2 Kings 4, that widow that her husband was a prophet, that left an inheritance of debt. Can you remember the story? And Prophet Elisha, she cried to him for help. And the man of God said, what do you have in your house? She said, just nothing but a little jar of oil. And then, watch this. The prophet gave an instruction. He said, go and borrow empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Then after borrowing all those vessels, he said, enter the room, shut the door. Just you and your son. Learn to listen to and heed prophetic instructions, divine instructions. Instructions are the gateways to the miraculous. Obedience to divine instructions provoke mighty miraculous manifestations. I say it again. Obedience to divine instructions provoke mighty miraculous manifestations. If you want to see the manifestations of prophecies, learn to obey prophetic instructions. Glory to God. When she obeyed that instruction, went and borrowed those vessels, she kept pouring and pouring. Guess what? The Bible says, when the last one got full, there was no more, the oil stayed. And then she came and met the man of God and told him. He said, go and sell the oil, pay your debt, live on the rest. She became an oil mogul. From a debtor to a big time oil mogul. Can you imagine? A dealer in oil. Just by obeying divine instructions, she came out of debt and became a wealthy woman. Glory to God. In 1 Kings 17, 8-16, the story of the widow at Zarephath and Prophet Elisha. You know, God sent Prophet Elisha to sustain her supernaturally during famine. But did you notice that Elisha, the prophet, he gave her some prophetic instructions. Thank God she obeyed them. She saw her fetching wood. He said, oh, please, can you get me small water? She went and got him water. And she's about to go. He said, hey, please, get me cake too. Ah, that one she protested. I swear, this is my last meal. I'm gathering stick to prepare for me and my son to eat and die. The man of God said, go and make for me first. I. If it was in our day, social media will carry placard. They will even do a looter. Wicked men of God, no even feel pity widow self. Is it not supposed to be the one helping the widow? That's why I say sometimes some things are difficult to explain to people that don't have covenant sense, spiritual sense, because these things are spiritually understood. Am I communicating? But when she obeyed the instruction, prepared the last meal, the man of God gave a prophetic word. He said, for thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste, nor the cruse of oil run dry, until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And when did the Lord send rain? After 3.5 years. Supernatural supplies. She provoked supernatural supplies. How? Through her obedience to divine instruction. It was Reverend Ada. He said when he studied this story and meditated, God told him the number one law of prosperity is learn to give to the anointed. That one was a personal rhema for him. He saw it from this scripture. Hallelujah. Kenneth Copeland said, if you come to church, you know, there are some things that if you teach, people will stone you. Kenneth Copeland said, if you have only one offering to give, he said, give it to the anointed. Listen to this. Obedience is a trigger for mighty miraculous manifestations. There is no substitute for obedience. Obedience to divine instruction, it has no substitute. Listen, no amount of prayer and fasting can substitute for obedience. If God tells you do this, you refuse to do it, and you are praying and fasting, you are doing all of that in disobedience, is equal to zero. Obedience has no substitute. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Is that not what Prophet Samuel told King Saul? He disobeyed the word of God. God said, go and kill all the Amalekites, kill all the animals, kill children. Normally, they don't usually kill women and children in war. They spear them. But this one was a judgment that God was releasing on the Amalekites. Are you seeing this? It was judgment time. Their cup is now full. God said, go and clear everything. Spare nothing. But Saul went, King Saul went and his army. And they did partial obedience. They killed only the worst and destroyed only the worst. They spared the best of everything, including the king. And what was the excuse? He said he spared the best animal to come and sacrifice to the Lord. Prophet Samuel said, "What have you done?" Because that night, God came to Samuel. God said, I regret, say I make King Saul king. God said, it regretted me. He said, he has disobeyed my instruction. Partial obedience equals disobedience. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is also what? Disobedience. So obedience must be complete, and it must be what? Prompt. Are you seeing this? It must be complete and prompt. Disobedience can frustrate and hinder the fulfillment of prophecies in your life. Malekobokosa. 1 Timothy 1:18-19. Is it? This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophetic words that have gone ahead of thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Then he said, holding faith and a good conscience. We've looked at faith, and we said good conscience talks of co-perception. It's talking of following the leading of the Spirit. If you want to see prophecies fulfill in your life, learn to follow the leadings of the Spirit. Am I communicating? Obey the promptings of the Holy Ghost impress upon your heart. Hallelujah. Don't rationalize divine instructions. Obey them. Okay? Obey them. Proverbs 4:13. He said, take fast hold on instruction. Let her not go. She is your life. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. Praise God. In Luke chapter 5 verse 4 to 7, you will see how Jesus used the boat of Peter to preach. And when he was done with the preaching, he said, let down your net, launch out into the deep, lend out your net for a drought. A translation says, for the catch of your life. That was like a prophetic word. Initially, Peter complained. He said, Master, we have toiled all night, me and my workers, we caught nothing. He was a professional fisherman, and Bible scholars say for people like Peter to toil all night, because night is the best time to fish, for him to catch nothing, it means one of two things. Number one, there are no fishes at all in that river. The second option is that the fishes that are available are at the stage of tadpole. You know tadpole? This small. It's one of those two. Or else you will have caught something. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word. Somebody say obedience to divine instruction. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, not before. Your miracle is at the instance of your obedience. He said, when he had this done, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. Their net were breaking. They started beckoning, calling the partners to join them. Hallelujah. So he got that mighty breakthrough, that boat sinking. You understand? Crowd pulling. Give me more adjective now. Net breaking. Boat sinking, crowd pulling. You understand? Miraculous catch of fish at the instance of obedience. Glory to God. Somebody say obedience. I say I receive grace to obey divine instructions, to follow the leadings of the Spirit. I receive grace to obey prophetic instructions. In John chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, you will see how Mary told the servants that whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Because wine got finished at the wedding or at Cana, and when they met, they approached Mary, Jesus' mother, She told them the key. He said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. When Jesus finally spoke, he said, fill the water pot with water. It was ridiculous instruction. And then they filled it. He now said, oh yeah, draw out of it. Go and give it to the master of ceremony, the governor of the feast. It was on that road of obedience water turned to wine, to the point that even the governor of the ceremony, the master of ceremony, the MC, even testified that this wine is sweeter than all the wine we've been drinking before. Is it usually people start with the worst wine? They start with the best wine. When people are full of the best wine, they reserve the worst and bring it out later. But you people turn it upside down. He said, you started with the worst wine and kept the best one until now. He didn't know what happened. The second one was supernatural brewery that produced it. Am I communicating? In response to obedience. Very powerful principle. Obedience to ridiculous instruction will provoke mind-blowing supernatural manifestations. Then the last one, the last key to activating prophecy is your character. You must have a good and godly character, Christ-like character. Look up. This one is very important. That's why I leave it at last, as last. I leave it as the seventh one. A godly character, Christ-like character, a good character is very important if you want to see prophecy come to. There are people that I have prayed for, even in this ministry. Some people. Some are no longer here, or some started with us. There are people I have prayed for, they have prophesied, I have laid hands, I have poured oil. It's remaining to immerse them inside drum of anointing oil. That's what is left. I've done all of that, but their character is a problem. Listen, your character is the strongest prophecy over your life. See, there is no prophecy that can be greater than your character. Bad character can sabotage your prophetic destiny. Did you hear what I just said? Give me Genesis 39 verse 7. Bad character, lack of integrity, lack of good character can sabotage your prophetic destiny. You want to fulfill your divine destiny? Pay attention. Pay premium attention to your character. Glory to God. You must have a godly character, Christ-like character. Manifest those fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, all of that. Humility, self-control. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Now, can you remember God revealed to Joseph in a prophetic vision? God revealed to him his destiny, God's plan and purpose for his life. Okay? Twice. Okay? The second one, he saw the sun, moon, 11 stars bowing to him. The first one, they were making heaves on the field, and then his own stood upright. His brother's own made obeisance to his own, bowed to his, and rallied around him. Now, that was the prophecy concerning his destiny being revealed to him in a dream. But did you notice that Joseph, he had a very good and godly character? If he didn't have a good character, do you think he would have become prime minister? He wouldn't have fulfilled his prophetic destiny. Look at this. It came to pass after these things. This was when he was in the house of Mr. Potiphar. Okay? As a slave, the houseboy. He said, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. You see that? She wanted to seduce him. She offered him sex for free. Next verse. But he refused. It takes somebody with a good character to refuse such kind of offer. And Mrs. Potiphar, let's assume her name is Josephine. Hope there's no Josephine here. Okay. Let's assume her name is Jojo, Josephine. You understand? Now, Bible scholars say she was so very beautiful. Very beautiful woman. In our day, how many people, even Christians, will say no to this kind of offer? It takes strength of character to resist and withstand such temptation. It takes strength of character. He refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanted not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all he had into my hand. Next verse. There is none greater in this house than I, in this house than I, neither had he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Can you see how he saw it? Today people have sugar-coated sin. They give it all manner of name. Fornication and adultery. They call it some sweet names today. Are you seeing that? Joseph calls it great wickedness and sin against God, and even against Mr. Potiphar. Is this how we will reward Mr. Potiphar for all the good he has done for him, by sleeping with his wife? Joseph had strength of character. You must have integrity, moral integrity, financial. There are some Christians, they can speak in tongues, but when it comes to money, your money is not safe in their hands. Some even do business and dupe fellow brothers. These things are happening, you know. Some people born again, they are born again, they not reach the area of money. In that area, they are not born again. Are you listening? If you make mistake, Jesus, glory to God. Some people have even cleared church account, some accountants that are not born again in the area of money, and they went and put church account in their. They just cleared it in and disappeared, just went missing with the money. Praise God. He said, how can I do this great wickedness? Do you know, if he had yielded to Mrs. Potiphar, he would have ended his journey in the house. At best, she wouldn't even want him to go again, because she has found a young, vibrant, fresh blood that will be satisfying her sexually. She will just sew uniform for him with cap. You understand? He will become chief. Someone ordained to be prime minister has ended as what? Chief. That's what bad character. You see how bad character sabotages people's destiny. What of Samson? You remember Samson? Was it no character problem? Jumping around from one woman to go to prostitute here, go to Delilah there. You understand? No strength of character. Is that not how he was captured? After Delilah, he told Delilah his secret. The symbol of his consecration. And then she gave him his haircut. Sammy, not this Samuel. Sammy. My guy, my baby, just lie down on my lap. Don't worry, just relax. You know, you just coop. What are you, Deli? What are you doing? No. I'm just trying to massage you to sleep. Now so, man of God sleep. She gave him his haircut. He crashed his prophetic destiny on the laps of Delilah. The Philistine came and captured him. Hi, this one man army that can carry that can carry the gate of a city and climb hill. They captured him like chicken. This man of God, that with the jawbone of an axe, he can summarize and finish the army of the Philistine. Look at how cheaply he ended because of lack of good character. They removed his eyes. He became pepper grinder. In fact, when they captured him, the Philistines, it was a big relief. They were even sacrificing to their gods and celebrating and praising Dagon. Ah, thank you, Dagon. You have finally delivered our enemy into our hand. Because Samson was a one-man army. He was the deliverer of Israel in his day. In the days of Samson, Israeli army did not need to fight. It was more than enough to handle the Philistine or any enemy. It was a one-man army. Look at how cheaply he ended. Until God later showed him mercy. And his head started growing small, small. And then he cried to God. You will never see anywhere in the Bible that Samson prayed. Except that. Go and read your Bible now. He never prayed though. Not even once before then. The only time he was praying, oh God, I know I've messed up. Show me mercy. This one last time, give me my power back. Let me revenge these people. Look at how they have removed my eyes. They have disgraced me. Oh me. Oh me. Pepper grinder. Just empower me one more last time. The Bible says it was a great ceremony. The Philistine, so many crowd and all of that. He now told the little child, please take me to the main central pillar that is holding the whole building. And my guy bowed with all his power, and God answered that his prayer and said, let all of us die together. We die here. That was how the building collapsed. The Bible says Samson ended up killing more people in that incident than all the one he has been killing. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, work on your character. Character is so important. Eh? So, and then in Genesis 45, 4 to 7, you will see how Joseph, the same Joseph again, had opportunity to deal with his brothers. For what they did to him, they wanted to kill him. They put him inside pit. Then they later sold him to slavery. And now they came to buy food. And he was the one attending to them. He could recognize them, but they could not recognize him. Because levels have changed. Levels have changed. They were still wearing the same clothes he knew them with. So he could easily recognize them. Wearing the same clothes, the same shoe. He knew. For him, he had been transformed beyond recognition. He will see them, he will turn his face and cry, see my brothers, see what they did to me. He began to clean his face. Say, sir, excuse me, are you fine? Say, no, I'm fine. Say, where did you say you are from? What's your... He said, no, your mission, you came to spy us. So that you go and give. They said, no, sir, please, we are just farmers, so we came to buy. He said, no. He was just playing with them. It was during their second visit. Then he made himself known. He wept. Say, I am Joseph, your brother. The one you sold to slavery, the one you lied to our father, that a wild animal had devoured him. You remember they took his coat of many colors. Killed an animal, soaked the cloth inside the blood of the animal, and used it as evidence to show the father that your favorite son, Joseph, the one you gave coat of many colors, is dead. Perhaps a wild animal has killed him. Look at his cloth, stained with blood. The father, Jacob, had already mourned Joseph. In his mind, Joseph was dead and nowhere to be found, eaten by wild animals. He said, I am Joseph. He said, you meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good. You didn't know God sent me ahead of you into Egypt to preserve your life. Joseph was a type of Jesus. They felt sorry. They are now at his mercy. Now imagine if Joseph didn't have good character. If it were some Nigerians, God don't catch them. He will first say, line them, just off their clothes. Give them 10 stroke first to start with. go see something today. Is it not sweet opportunity to revenge, to use his authority and power? And he was in charge of the army. Anything, tie them, give them five bullets, dead by firing squad. So many things he could have done, or cut off their head. But the Bible says he chose to walk in love and forgiveness. What have people done to you that you have refused to forgive? Think of Joseph. Remember Joseph. He still forgave them from his heart. You know, there are those that say they are forgiven, but they have not forgiven you from their heart. They have not forgiven their offenders from their heart. How do you know? They keep making reference to that offense. If any time something, the person offends you, you now come up with a catalog, a mental list of all what the person did before, and you are saying it with anger, it shows that you did not really forgive the person. You are still holding it against them. So learn to forgive people, then restore them to the right position in your heart. Am I communicating? Now, it doesn't mean you should trust them blindly. No. You walk in love with wisdom, but forgiveness and love is a command. Am I communicating? Love everybody, but don't trust everybody. Okay? Love and forgive. Very powerful principle. Now, listen to this. Gehazi, who still remember Gehazi? Elisha's servant that could have collected quadruple portion. He lost it to greed and covetousness. Why? Because of character problem. He was a greedy man, covetous, that went and lied and collected money and clothes and those things from Naaman, and even came and lied to the man of God. You know, there are some people that can lie a lot. Some people, if they tell you good money, you need to check time. Is it really money? Hi. They lie too much. Some people will even lie in the name of Jesus. They will swear in the name of the Lord. Terrible. He lost it because of character problem, greed and covetousness. You see that in 2 Kings 5:25-27. What of Judas Iscariot? Another person with bad character. He also lost it to greed and covetousness. I once made a statement. Look. I've studied the Bible. One of the set of people that I noticed, they hardly walk in the anointing and genuine grace, are greedy and covetous people. Look at the example of Gehazi. What made him lose the anointing? Why couldn't he receive a impartation? Greed and covetousness. Another example, Judas. You remember how he died? Judas was the one in Matthew 27:3-10. He was the one, Matthew 26:14-15. He was the one that went and met the scribes and all of that, the chief priests. He said, what will you give me? I'm going to sell my master Jesus to you. He was the one to... They were not the one that approached Judas. So look at it now. Matthew what? 26. Give me Matthew 26:14. He was the one... He has been stealing money from the poor, stealing money from the poor, stealing money from the poor as treasurer. That one no duam. Now, he wants to sell his master because of money. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest. They didn't come to him. He was the one, and he went to them and went and bargained. Look at it. Next verse. And said unto them, what will ye give me? Aye. Greed. I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him 30 pieces of silver. Next verse. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. How did he end? Acts 1:15. How did he end? This was somebody that was ordained to be part of the 12. His bishopric, somebody else ended up taking it. Matthias. Because Judas lost it to greed and covetousness. Am I communicating? In his mind, he was thinking, because he has seen all the miracles of Jesus. In his mind, this was his calculation. By the time I collect the money from them, they come to arrest Jesus. Jesus will just do one film trick, abracadabra. Maybe he will disappear. Or he will just blow air. All of them. You understand? In his mind, he didn't know. He did not know that Jesus was ordained to die. In his mind, he thought Jesus would just disappear and go. And then he has cheated them. Unfortunately, things did not go as planned. That was why he became guilty after Jesus was arrested and then crucified. He became guilty. He felt guilty. He went to return the money back. They refused to collect. He said, waiting. The chief priest said, get out of this place. He said, that's your business. Business, deal is deal. Whatever you want to do with your money. He said, no. He's not going to collect the money. He cast it into the treasury. Then the people say, this money is blood money. He said, don't let it mix with other offering. Put it aside. They carried the money. They went and bought a field. They call it field of blood, where they buried strangers. And we later heard that was the same field that Judas hanged himself. He committed suicide. Spirit of depression, demons of suicide attacked him. He hanged himself and died of burst abdomen. All his bowels, you know, all these things are in the Bible. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the names were 120. Next verse, the 120 in the upper room. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was to guide them that took Jesus. Next verse, you will not fulfill negative prophecy in Jesus' name. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. You see? This is talking of Judas. Next verse. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, look at how he died. Falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. What a terrible end. Next verse. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch as the field is called in their proper tongue Akaldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Next verse. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. May nobody take your bishopric in Jesus' name. Next verse. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us, then they now talked of replacement. So he lost it. couldn't fulfill his prophetic destiny because of greed and covetousness. King Saul lost his throne due to pride and what? Disobedience. God needed to get his replacement, which was David. Say, the kingdom has been taken from you. It has been given to your neighbor who is better than you. And who was that neighbor? David, a man after God's heart. Esau lost it. He lost it to profanity. Hebrews 12:16. He said, lest there be any profane person among you like Esau, who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright. You must have value, high value for spiritual things, not mundane things, so that you don't lose your spiritual inheritance. Praise God. The house of Eli, the priest, his children. You remember those his children? What are their names? Hophni and Phinehas, that were messing up. They lost it because of dishonor. They dishonored God. Can you imagine? They were sleeping around with women, corrupting the sacrifice. You're eating it to anyone they want. When people come, bring sacrifice, it will say, give me that part. And, you know, they were just perverse. Corruption and perverseness. Dishonor to God. And God said, far be it from me. Said the priesthood, this family will not continue. He said, he who honors me, I will honor. Those that don't honor me, I will lightly esteem. So that was how they lost it. What of the senior prophet himself, Moses? He missed the promised land due to anger. Hope you know. And it was the children of Israel that provoked him to anger. That's why, as a pastor, you have to be careful. The people you are pastoring, you allow them, it can provoke you, do things that will provoke you to miss out of some things in your prophetic destiny. They were the people that provoked him because of what our. They were thirsty. They started complaining. You know, the children of Israel are funny. Rise to your feet. Anytime there is any problem, they will start complaining. Oh, Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. Oh, Moses, you have brought us to this place, this wilderness, so that we will die of thirst. No water. Yeah, give us water now. No water. Eh? Is this not what we told you? You shouldn't have carried us from Egypt. The Bible says Moses was provoked and he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. He said, ye rebels, must we fetch water for you? God had already told him that he should speak to the rock. Moses went and struck the rock twice. Tawai, tawai. But God still honored the anointing. Water came out, but God was not happy with Moses. God said, you've not sanctified me in the sight of the children of Israel. Say, therefore, you will see the promised land with your eye, but you will not enter. And that was what happened. God told him to climb the mountain and look at it. Look at it. You don't see him? He said, I don't see him. You saw it where? God had to remind him. It was 120 when he climbed mountain. The Bible says his eyes were not dim. So there was no presbyopia, no short-sightedness, perfect vision. His eyes were not dim. His physical strength were not reduced. They were unabated. A 120-year-old man climbed a mountain. That's to tell you the level of strength. Moses forgot to die. God had to remind him. Both of us had an agreement that you are not entering. God said, oh, yeah, die. I said, okay. Yes, sir. Then God supervised the dying. Then God buried him. God alone conducted the burial. Till today, nobody knows his sepulcher. What a man. Say with me in the name of Jesus. I receive grace to walk on any negative or bad character. You understand? Some people, you see, you need to deal with it. Anger, pride, greed, all those things. You understand? For some people, their eyes know they see anything on skirt. Hi! You sleep with this one, sleep with that one, sleep with the Abba, Abba, Abba. You see how people lose their destiny? Some ladies, this one give you money, you slept with him. Are you a prostitute? What's your problem? Anybody trading, if a woman that is trading her body, she is trading it for sex in exchange for money, that's prostitution now. It's prostitution. It's just that they have redefined it in our day. Some of them are online. They are on TikTok. They are there. They are there. They are different this thing. Social media. You see them shaking bum, looking for customers, advertising their product and services. Before you know, hook up. Now they call prostitution hook up. They have looked for euphemisms. You know euphemisms? Words, lighter ways of saying something. Say with me, I receive grace to work on my character. Can you talk to the Lord? These are the keys to activating prophecy. Begin to ask for grace. Grace to build your faith. Grace to engage in prayer with fasting. Grace to express honor for the anointed. Genuine honor. Grace to give and give sacrificially. Grace to apply the key of joyful praise, thanksgiving. Grace for obedience to prophetic instructions and divine leadings. Grace, Kalabaya, for a life of godly character, a life of integrity. Are you talking to the Lord? Grace to deal with every character weakness. Grace to deal with every form of character weakness. La batiza balatia, that will sabotage your prophetic destiny. Can you go ahead and talk to the Lord? Jeliko baraska brande kepa elika brande kepora kapalatina lefeketoli frabalakida ronde sivregida halabatea ligrondo boko sabaladia. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Let me take a few questions. I know our time is far spent. Sorry, we'll overshoot. If you have question, I promise to take question today. The first few hands that go up, because we don't want rebound question. If you have any question concerning the teaching series so far, you can just write it, or you can come out and say it. Anyone? Yes, sir. Please, protocol, can you get a mic for him? If you have questions, let me just see your hands up. One, two, raise your hand. One, two, three. Three people so far. Is that all? Four. Okay, five. Okay, let's pick these five. Please, let's start with him. Okay? Very fast. Edidion, give him mic. You can stand to your feet, sir. You can talk from there. Praise God. Please listen carefully, because you will learn a lot from this question and answer session.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right. So my question, I think at the beginning, at the starting of the prophetic teaching, I think on Monday, you said prophecies can be inspired from three sources.
Is yes.
From God.
Yes.
From the... He said from the heart of the person.
Yeah, you can...
And also from...
Yes, prophecy can be inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It can come from demonic spirit. It can also come from your own heart. That's your spirit. You can just prophesy out of your spirit.
Exactly. So, now my question is... You know, then today also you said something about prayer.
Yes.
You said prayer must be heartfelt, must come from the heart.
Must be heartfelt. Yes.
So my question is, as a young Christian, you know, who is not really grounded in the gift of prophecy, and, you know, you are growing to that level.
Yes.
You know, you're just beginning to receive from the Holy Spirit and things like that as a growing Christian. How can you discern? Because you also said something. You said when you get a prophecy, especially like during a a service. You said God is not the author of confusion.
Yes.
God cannot tell you to just go and carry the microphone and give your prophecy. You said you can write it down, you know, and pass it, you know. So all these things. Now, as a young Christian, like I said, how can you define when the prophecy drops in your heart? How can you define or differentiate between a divine prophecy and a thought, like your own heart
from
prophecy?
Your heart.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sir, I need clarity on that.
It's a good question. It's a good question. How will you know between a prophetic word coming from the Holy Spirit and the one that is coming, that is just me thinking? First of all, you must understand how God leads you. Are you getting me? You must train yourself to understand the voice and the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And one of the best ways you can do that is by spending time meditating on God's word. And then spend time in communion, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, in prayer and in worship. See, it is during intimacy that you get to know God more. You get to recognize His voice. You get to know His leading. You become more acquainted with His person. Are you getting me? It's through intimacy and what? Fellowship. And when you get to know His voice and you are acquainted with His leading through intimacy, it's so easy to know the voice of strangers. It's so easy to know when it is not God, or when it is not, it's just you that is thinking. You see, in the realm of the spirit, thoughts can come from your mind, thoughts can come from God, it can come from Satan and demons too. So it is through this intimacy with God and training your spirit to discern these three various sources of the thought. You have to train your spirit, like I'm saying, through what? Meditation on God's word, constant meditation. Then you train your spirit through fellowship, intimacy with God, and then speaking in tongues. Learn to pray in tongues a lot. It's one of a major way that you train your spirit. By the time you have trained your spirit, it will be easier to discern when it's just you that is thinking, the thought coming from you, and when it is from God, and when it is demonic thoughts coming to your mind. Are you getting me? So you have to engage in those spiritual exercises. So that's very important. Have I answered the question? Okay. Then let's have the next person. Who else raised up his hand? Yes, Pastor Shola.
Hallelujah. Good afternoon, everyone. So while you were teaching on Thursday,
yes, sir,
you mentioned something. You said that that a moment anybody is born, there's an angel assigned to the person.
Yes, familiar.
That's familiar angels, and there are familiar demons too.
Jesus talked about children, and He mentioned their angels. Okay, He said their angels stand before God. They give report to God concerning that person. Those angels help to guide, protect that child, and all of that along the path of destiny. Yes.
Okay. So my question is like this. I was telling Pastor Sheikh that day. I said, is it possible for someone to lose touch with his angel? To lose touch with his angel?
Is it possible for the person to lose touch?
Yes, that's.
Explain what you mean by lose touch.
Okay. I'll use myself as an example. While I was growing up, I know I used to see the angel.
Okay.
But as I grew, I find out that
you no longer see him. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean the angel has gone away. As in, he don't vex, leave you. That you did not see the angel does not mean he's not there. Are you getting me? Most of the times, you don't need to see them. Anytime God opens your eyes to see them, it's usually for a reason. But that's not like the norm. Am I communicating? That's not the norm. The angels are there, whether you feel or you don't feel their presence. Whether you see them or you don't see them. They are there. They are assigned to you. Am I communicating? If you used to see them before and you don't used to see them again, then you find out from God why. Are you getting me? But like I said, the angel has not gone. He's still with you. In fact, another one has been added. There are now two now. The second one was added the day you got born again. That one, the assignment, that one is your ministering angel. The job of that one is to help you fulfill your divine purpose and destiny. Like me now, you see, all the while I stood here ministering, my angel, my ministry angel is here with me. And I usually know when he comes. Most of the time, he stands by my right. And I start feeling his presence. You understand? Me, I usually know when my ministry angel is there. But whether I don't feel anything, but it doesn't mean he's not there. But when I feel, that means he has decided to manifest his presence. Am I communicating? Glory to God. I say glory to God. Have I answered that question? So, next.
Praise God.
Yes.
Sir, is it possible for one who is supposed to be a genuine prophet to not have utterance to speak in tongues?
As in, the person does not speak in tongues at all.
Yes, sir. And he performs miracles and he's called a prophet.
He's called a prophet. That question is possible, provided that it's genuine. Are you getting me? Okay. It's possible.
Because okay. I found it really disturbing that he
it's possible.
Doesn't.
The reason is because it depends on their understanding concerning tongues. Let me ask you a question. Don't we have some church denomination that don't believe in speaking in tongues? Is it everybody that all Christian denomination that believe in speaking in tongues? No. There are reverends, there are pastors that don't speak in tongues. But you cannot say they are not reverends or they are not pastors. Their problem is they've not come to the revelation knowledge of that particular dimension. Let me tell you something with God. The dimension of God that you know and understand is the dimension that He will manifest to you. There was a time that the only message that was moving around, making rounds, waves in the body of Christ is salvation from sin. They didn't know the dimension of God as a healer. They were only preaching that the sacrifice of Jesus has paid for your sin. And God manifested Himself. So many people came to Christ, evangelists won so, but they did not see healing. They didn't see healing. But the same sacrifice that paid for sin also paid for their healing, also paid for prosperity. They didn't walk in the dimension of healing and prosperity because they didn't have that revelation. So God only manifested salvation, the one they knew. Then later, the voice of healing revival came up. Emphasis was on, they now realize, the sacrifice didn't just cover for sin, it covered for sickness. Then healing started happening. Even though many of them were broke, they had not come to the revelation of prosperity. It's the same thing with tongues. It's the same. There are some churches, start speaking in tongues. Usher will carry you, bundle you out. They'll say, Angenu, evil spirit have entered you. I'm telling you. So, it's possible that that person is actually called. It's possible. And the problem is that they have not come to the revelation. It can be through ignorance or wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. If you sit under people, you keep listening to messages of people that don't believe in speaking in tongues or who are against it, it will plant a seed of unbelief in you, and that will prevent you from receiving too. Am I communicating? Most people that come to me with the challenge that they've been trying to pray for them to speak in tongues, they cannot speak in tongues. People have prayed for them, they didn't speak in tongues. See, I realize 90-something% of them, most at times, the problem is wrong teaching. Pastors, hear me, you be the minister, the Holy Ghost to people. The problem of those people is wrong teaching. Many of them, there are those that are ignorant. That one is even better. But there are those that the church they attend, the teachings they have exposed themselves to, they've been programmed to walk in unbelief because of those wrong teaching. So what do? You have to first, they have to unlearn. You show them from the Bible, because faith can only begin where the will of God is known. And the moment I explain to them, and those that are humble enough to let go of those wrong teachings and mindset, then they open themselves up. They receive. Are you seeing that? So something is blocking the pipe. You have to remove it. It's not that the water is not flowing. You have to remove the blockade. So, it is possible. Are you getting me? Provided it's genuine, called of God. Have I answered that question? Yes. Next.
Good afternoon, sir. So, you've taught us on prophecy, spirit of divination, and fortune telling. And
yes,
I've seen a practice that genuine Christians do.
Yes.
If, for example, someone does something here, and then you want to know who is the particular person that do that, maybe steal or something like that, they will now put key in a particular verse of the Bible. And then, if it's the person, you call the person name, if it's the person, the key is going to turn. If not the person, the key won't turn. So I want to know what actually is turning the key, and how is it?
It's a good question. No, these things are practical. She's speaking what is happening in our day. These things are happening. It's true. What she's saying is true. You know? We call it, what they are doing is called fleecing. It's similar to what Gideon did when God called him, you know. He put fleece and all of that, you know, to find out whether it was God's leading or not. You know what they are trying to do? They are trying to get God's leading and direction by what they are doing. That's what they are doing. But look up. If you are a child of God, in the New Testament, is a wrong teaching. We don't do fleecing. We are led. Romans 8:14, as many that are led by the Spirit of God. Is the Old Testament that God led them that way? Because those people were spiritually dead. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside them. But we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and He leads us from within. Are you getting me? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So you don't need to do Pookie, Tom Bible. No. We are not in the Old Testament. We are not unbelievers. We have the Holy Spirit. He can tell you. Are you getting me? He can tell you whether the person stole it or not. You don't need to do that. What those people need to learn is how to recognize and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what they need to be taught. How to hear God's voice. Are you getting me? How to hear from God. That's what they need. How to receive divine direction by the Word and the Spirit of God. You don't need to put any key and tell it rotate. That's not necessary. However, if you are a baby Christian, God can still use that method to lead you. He will allow it. But you will soon get, when you are growing, you know, it's just like little baby, there are things they do that you just ignore, allow them. Not because it is right, but be out of love, because you know they are still babies. Then when they grow up, you now say, stop. Are you seeing that? Have I answered the question? Please don't go and be doing fleas, you know. You know, some people use it to find out God's will. It's wrong. It's wrong. That's not how you find it. You say, Father, if Kola is the one for me, if it's the one, five guys are asking your hand in marriage, they propose to you. Father, if it is Kola, let him be the first to call me in the morning. Satan go soon, the devil go soon make him to call you. I'm telling you, you don't do that. You will miss it that way. You miss it that way. Father, the first to visit me Saturday morning, I will know he's the one. The first to visit me. You will miss it that way. Am I communicating? Romans 8:14. Is it for as many as are led? This is how to know God's will. Are led. You know God's will from the word of God. You know God's will through the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many as are led by putting key inside Bible and telling it to turn. Are you getting me? Okay. Have I answered the question? I like question and answers because you will learn a lot. Next. Yes, Pastor Mafeng. Celebrate him.
All right, sir. In your teaching, you said to be called into the office of the prophet.
Yes, sir.
Is a predestination.
Yes, by election of grace.
Yes.
It's God's choice that you discover.
So that means
revelation.
Before you were born,
God
you already
decides
ordained
it.
To be a prophet.
It's just the same way God calls people into any other office in the fivefold.
All right. My question is. Even before the people, okay, as those people are born, do they naturally have those, are their spiritual senses already activated? Because I've heard instances
Okay, it's a good question.
I've heard instances of prophets who give stories that even when they were children, before they ever gave their life to Christ, they were still operating in those gifts.
Oh, it's a good question. Thank you. Yes. The answer to that question is both yes and no. I will explain. For some, they may start manifesting those prophetic grace or prophetic gifts right when they are small. Some of them, even before they get born again. Are you getting me? They may start manifesting it. But when they get born again, it gets to another dimension. And then, of course, it's properly stewarded. There's proper stewardship. But if they don't get born again, it may get corrupted. Okay? Before you know, they'll go into divination, soothsaying. It's like a counterfeit. Or, you know, Satan is not the one that gives people gift to. It's God. What the devil does is to corrupt whatever God has given them. Are you getting me? So there are those that we start seeing, they will tell you that they've started seeing, they just know things supernaturally. Even their family members will tell you. They start having those prophetic dreams. God shows them things right when they were young. They see visions. You know, even the parents, relative friends can testify to that. The community can testify to that. There are those that have that. Then there are those that are nothing. You won't hear any of such story. But it's later, when they answer the call, they get born again, answer the call, then they'll start manifest the prophetic grace. Are you seeing that? That's why I said the answer is both what? Yes and no. So it's not compulsory that every prophet will start manifesting the prophetic from childhood. It's not all of them that are like that. There is no hard and fast rule. Are you getting me? Let me show you something in Amos. You know, Amos was a prophet. Prophet Amos. Amos chapter 7. Watch this. Amos chapter 7 verse 12. Amos 7:12. It says, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer. So Amos was a seer. I say Amos was a seer. He said, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread. 13. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. Now you call him. For it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Verse 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an headman, a gatherer of sycamore fruits. Next verse. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go and prophesy unto my people Israel. What can you learn from this? He was not operating in any of the office, as in there was no sign that he had a prophetic calling. At all. That was why he said, I was no prophet. He's not even from a family of prophets, because the prophetic can be a family heritage. There are those that will tell you, this is my family, my father, my grandfather, my uncle. They too, they prophesy, they see vision. It can flow. There are callings that flow in families. But in his own case, nothing like that. Nothing like that. Then God called him. He said, oh yeah, go and prophesy. Then from that day, he became a seer. So that's why I say there is no hard and fast rule. It's not everybody that you'll be hearing that kind of story. Okay, have I answered your question, sir? Praise God. Can we rise to our feet? Now, we are going for... Can we celebrate... Today is the naming ceremony of Pastor Nenkub's daughter, Princess. Our wonderful prophetess. Glory to God. I say glory to God. One of the kind of programs or meetings I like attending, I usually naming ceremonies. I usually get excited when I hear naming ceremonies. What an opportunity. Glory to God. You know, every child born into this world is born as a solution. God saw a need, and then he sent the solution package in form of that girl. So we'll go and rejoice with them the moment we close. It's by 3 p.m. so you have.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sandon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.